The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, which can be found on page 859 of the Pew Bible. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Amen.
Prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is on a mission. God is passionate about achieving his mission. He is committed and he is active. God doesn't ever take a day off. He doesn't get diverted. You know how it is, you get a mission in your head, it's time for a cup of tea, you go through to the kitchen, and you see some cups and dishes that need washed and tidied away, and you get diverted from your cup of tea to the tidying and the washing up, and you never get back to the cup of tea. Doesn't that happen with you? I do tidying like that in the kitchen all the time. I would laugh as well. But God doesn't get diverted. He never gets sidetracked from his mission. Everything God does, everything God says, is part of his mission. The whole of Scripture, the whole of the life of the church, bears witness to God being active in achieving his mission. We might say God is single-minded about achieving his mission of grace. The God who is on a mission, who is so active and committed, is God the Father, but not only God the Father. In the passage that we read together earlier, we read of how God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are also active and engaged in this great mission of God. We'll see that the church of this God is also commissioned by him to share in his mission. Yes, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has a mission of grace for us, for each one of us, but as we believe in him, as we commit ourselves to following Jesus, so God commissions us to serve his mission, to be engaged in achieving his mission. And this is our theme these next few weeks. The passage we read earlier, the sermon which the Lord Jesus preached in the synagogue of Nazareth, introduces us to the mission of the Messiah by using that language in the reading and in the passage that Jesus spoke about in that synagogue. Our familiarity, we might at times say over-familiarity with the word Christ, often it diminishes the meaning, the significance of that word in our thinking. It's easy for us to forget that Christ is not a surname, Mr. Christ. It's not like that at all. The word designates a purpose. It describes a function which the person who is Christ performs. In our reading, the phrase, he has anointed me, the Greek word is echrisen, chrisen, Christ. It's a verb, not a noun. It describes something done to Jesus by someone else. He has anointed me. God has made me Christ. We might, if we wanted to be bad in our English grammar, say God has Christed me. God has Messiah'd me. This Jesus of Nazareth, the one who preached in that synagogue in Nazareth, he is the one. He is the one who has been announced and waited for 2,000 years. He is the only one in all of human history who will be anointed as Christ, as Messiah. He is the one in whom the mission of God finds its focus, its center point. In this Jesus, the mission of God is achieved. In this Jesus, who is Christ, who is Messiah, all God's purposes of grace are fulfilled. This Jesus, who is Christ, proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. The proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor is the same thing as proclaiming the mission of God. When the year of the Lord's favor comes, and it comes when Jesus declares it, announces it, the mission of God is declared, is announced, is achieved in his person. As we, the Church of Jesus Christ, share after him in the mission of God, we are transferred into the year of the Lord's favor. That's the time zone, if you like, in which we now live. We don't live in a time which is apart from the Lord's favor. We have now been placed into that time when God is favorable, when God's mission is fulfilled and achieved, when God's kingdom is spreading and growing. That's where we live. But will we live there? Will we be people who live in the year of the Lord's favor? In the synagogue, the Lord Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah. Once again, we celebrate that all of Scripture declares the mission of God. The passage is what we would call Isaiah 61. After Judah and Jerusalem have been defeated by the Babylonians and taken away into exile, the people of God will experience the comfort of God. The favor of God, the grace of God will be made known to them. In their place of exile, the mission of God for them is renewal and restoration. They get to go home. When Isaiah proclaimed these words, the people had not yet received what was proclaimed. It was still away, away in the future. They hadn't even been defeated by the Babylonians when Isaiah preached these words. But the people heard the words. They held on to the promise, and they did receive the grace of God. From their exile in Babylon, they were restored. They did come home with a king's written out promise to give them wood and stone to build their houses and their temples. And you can see it in the British Museum. But now, centuries after that first restoration, now in the synagogue in Nazareth, the Lord Jesus takes these words and he says, you think that was fulfillment? Wait till you see what God's doing now in me. In me, these words are fulfilled, he says. The favor of the Lord in this declaration of Jesus is not only for some Jerusalemites who have been exiled to Babylon. It's not only for some people who have suffered in captivity in a foreign nation. Now the year of the Lord's favor, the mission of God, is for everyone in need. For all people of every nation, tribe, and tongue, wherever they are, scattered all around the world. The favor of the Lord is for you and for me. Wonder if you've ever noticed, this very first sermon which the Lord Jesus preaches in Luke's Gospel, it's right at the beginning in chapter 4. This first sermon where Jesus proclaims matches up with the final words which Jesus says in Luke 24, where the risen Lord Jesus says to his disciples, thus it is written, the Christ should suffer, on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Same word in English and in Greek. The proclamation of the mission of God, which Jesus declared in Nazareth, is now given by him in his risen, ascended state to his disciples, to his church. What I have proclaimed, you now proclaim. The grace of God, which I have spoken about and which you have experienced, you are to tell others, proclaim it to them, and share it with them. The mission of God is achieved in Jesus and proclaimed by his disciples to the ends of the earth. We are to share in this proclamation. We are the people today who are to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the forgiveness of sins, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Will we live here? Will we live lives that proclaim this favor of God to others around us? Will we live lives that make known the forgiveness of sins in Jesus? Will we live here? You may be asking, how can we live here? How can we share in this mission of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor? Well, the first line from Isaiah that the Lord Jesus read in his sermon, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The proclamation of the mission of God is by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way it can be made. When we heard the good news of God's favor towards us, what we heard was the work of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, making Jesus known. The Lord Jesus in his ministry, in his serving the mission of God, is empowered by the Spirit of God. We need to grab a hold of that. Jesus, the Word of God, who was from the beginning God himself, is strengthened, empowered by the Spirit of God. If Jesus needs this strengthening and empowering, how much more do we? The Lord Jesus did nothing apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can do nothing to serve his mission apart from the indwelling, empowering Holy Spirit. The good news is, this is what God has promised. God has promised us his Holy Spirit poured out abundantly into our lives, that we might live as disciples of Jesus and serve him in his mission. Not only has God promised it, God has done it. By the power and presence of the Holy Spirit alone do we believe in Jesus. Our faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. By his power, we already live in the year of the Lord's favor. In him, we are enabled to serve the mission of God. We are not being asked to do something in our own strength or in our own ability and power. We are promised the all-powerful Spirit of God to live and work within us. But more than this, Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. As I have declared, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, so it is achieved in me, because of me," Jesus says. The Christ, the Messiah, has come. He has spoken the words of promise and power. He has declared that the kingdom has dawned, and in his presence it already has. He is the fulfillment. The mission of God is achieved through the Messiah. It's not our job. It's not within our ability to achieve and fulfill the mission of God. But we don't have to, because Jesus already has done it. We serve the mission of God through Jesus, through the Messiah. By faith in Jesus, we are united to him. Where he is, we are. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in the fulfillment of the mission of God. Because of that, we live there also. Through the Messiah, by faith in him, we live in that time when God's mission is being accomplished. Yes, there are still captives and blind and others in need, but we, the church, the disciples of Jesus, we in our Christian living proclaim the Messiah. We announce to all people, Jesus has come. Jesus has died and risen. In him, God's purposes of grace are made known to all. We, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, are Messiah people. Through the Messiah, we are mission people. In partnership with Jesus, in fellowship with him, we are commissioned to serve his mission. Will we live here? Will our lives as disciples of Jesus depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit? Will our lives through the Messiah make known his love and his mercy to all? Will we live here? In his Nazareth sermon, the Lord Jesus proclaimed the mission of God. In every following page of the gospel stories, we read of how Jesus lived out the fulfillment of that mission of God. Those captive to sin were forgiven. Those blind had their sight restored. The lame walked, the deaf heard again. Those oppressed by demons were liberated. The announcement of the Lord's favor, the proclamation of the fulfillment of the mission of God, would have been meaningless if Jesus had not demonstrated its fulfillment in his acts of mercy and kindness. What good would it have been for Isaiah to declare comfort for God's people from their Babylonian exile if they were never brought home? It would have been no use for the Lord Jesus to stand in Nazareth and say, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing," if for the next 3 years he hadn't gone out and showed them it. In the same way, we can talk all we like about the mission of God. We can shout about the year of the Lord's favor till our voices fail. But if it is never seen, if it is never experienced among us, then it's just so much hot air. We are to serve the mission of God in the power of the Holy Spirit through the Messiah by expressing his love, his mercy, his care for those in need. Where are the captives in our city? Those victims of human trafficking, Well, let's be honest and call it what it is, sex slavery. Too many in our city being sold with hotel rooms. Where are those trapped in the poverty of homelessness and unemployment? Just round the corner from us. What will it mean for us to care for them? To share the love of God in his mission for them? What will that look like? At the very least, as we share in the mission of God, we are called to stand up and to say, this is unjust, this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening. We should be pounding on the doors of that parliament building every day till something gets done. Violence and abuse should not be tolerated without voices raised against. Too often we're silent. What about those who are captive to sin, who have never been told that corruption, abuse, theft, violence is sin? And there are many in our city today who have never heard this, who don't know that these things have eternal consequences. There are many who have never been told that in Jesus the Messiah, the mission of God to bring forgiveness of sins has been fulfilled. That Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that the penalty of sin could be paid and people, men and women, could be set free. They've never heard that. Too many in our city. If we who have experienced in Jesus the forgiveness of our sins don't care enough to share this good news with others, who will? If we won't tell them, who will? We are called, as we share in the mission of God, to live forgiven lives and to share forgiven lives so that others might know this mission of God fulfilled for them. What about those in our city who are hungry, who are sick? If we believe that God loves them, that the mission of God is intended for them, what will it look like to provide care for them, to share the favor of God with them? What are we doing as disciples of Jesus to care for those in need? We partner with the food bank. We support Bethany and Fresh Start and other works of care for those in need. What more can we do to share this mission of God's love with others in need in our city? The mission of God is proclaimed by the Lord Jesus as having been achieved in himself. He then sends us, his disciples, as agents of his mission. He has achieved it. He sends us that others might experience that fulfilled mission, might experience his love and his grace and his mercy as we care for them and share with them. Will we live here? This is what it means to live in the year of the Lord's favor. It's not about saying, thank you, God, you've been merciful to me and I'm now safe. That's not it. That's only a starting point. Because God has been merciful to me, because God has forgiven me, how can I care for others? How can I share this with others? Receiving his favor for ourselves, caring and sharing his favor with others in need. Will we live there? That's where we need to live. Let's pray together. Father, we are humbled by your word to us. We thank you that you are favorable to us, you are gracious towards us, that in Jesus you have forgiven our sins, that in Jesus you have made us new people, your own children. But we hear your call that we should share this with others. Open our eyes that we might see the others close to us with whom we need to share your mission. Open our eyes to see what you've already given us, that we already have, that we can use in expressing care as we share your love with others. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we might serve your mission and see your kingdom built among us for the glory of your name. Amen.